You know, staring at your comm won't make Echo contact you any faster.
He and Rex lost most of their squad in that attack. All because the Empire was after me. I have to do something to help them.
You are, by staying away.
He's right. We need to know more about why Hemlock's after you, and what his MCAN experiments mean. Until then, you have to lay low.
Ho-ho-ho! Greetings once again, Bucketheads. Mevar Tigar. Welcome to our 246th Siler Saris searching episode of MandoVision. I am your host, Nargai Tom, and thank you so much for checking out this small, independent Star Wars podcast. We are so glad you're here. Reach out to us on the socials. We're at Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. You can email the show, MandoVisionTom@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share the show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. All right, Bucketheads, we are back to discuss last week's episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch. The final season of The Bad Batch continues to roll on, and this week we revisit with a character who was introduced on another show, but is getting their backstory in this show. I'm, of course, referring to Fennec Shand, voiced once again by Ming-Na Wen. And what a delight to have Fennec back in the mix here. And, you know, is it as a friend, an ally, an adversary? Who's to say? We will try to interpret Fennec's motives as we get into the nitty-gritty of this episode. But just nice to have them back. Again, The Batch doesn't exactly have a lot of underworld experience, necessarily. So they go to the one person they think they know. They think they understand how these bounty hunters work. But I think by the end of the episode, they may end up regretting all of that. Anyways, let's go ahead and lay out our particulars for this episode. Not a lot on the Star Wars news front at the moment. Even today, you know, something like 5 days removed from the episode dropping, there's not a lot of information about Siler Saris out there that's been confirmed. We still don't know his species other than big grasshopper-looking people. And that's kind of the extent of it. He has a cool nickname, the Slayer of Odo Eris. That's pretty cool. Is that a person? Is that a place? I don't know. None of these things are confirmed or acknowledged in any reasonable fashion, and I was a little annoyed that here we are, you know, five days out, and I got nothing on this guy to talk about, just nothing at all. So we'll try to circle back to that at some point in a later date and see if they ever give us any sort of information on this character that we were introduced to in this week's show. But let's go ahead and get our particulars out of the way for the episode. This is Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 8, Bad Territory. Original air date, March 20th, 2024. Written by Matt Mishnevitz. Directed by Nathaniel Villanueva. our primary cast this week. D. Bradley Baker is the Bad Batch. Michelle Ang is Omega. Ben Diskin is AZ3. Jonathan Lipow is the Client / Siler. Ming-Na Wen is Fennec Shand. Wanda Sykes is Fi Genoa. And our plot. Another riveting, just so much detail in this one. Desperate for intel, Hunter and Wrecker track down a dangerous bounty. Yes, they do that because they believe that Fennec Shand is the one who will have the information they need, or perhaps put them on the right track to that. Much like every other episode of the show, they're sort of the A storyline and the B storyline. I very much like the two dueling storylines in this episode. You know, we have Hunter and Wrecker with Fennec on the hunt for Siler Saris. And then on the B storyline, again, much slower paced. It's much more character driven. Back on Pabu, we get to follow Crosshair and Omega as Omega attempts to help Crosshair with the tremor he has in his trigger hand. And we start to get those answers that we have, you know, pondered about here. Like, what is the cause of that tremor? Is it some kind of nerve damage? Is it something psychological? And we get into that, and we'll talk about it. And I'm excited for it. All right, that being said, who else do we get? Again, we mentioned in the cast, Wanda Sykes returns as Fi. Their new source of information, the days of Cid seem to be long and far removed. And I guess that's where we are with those characters. I would not be surprised if Cid rears her head again at some point in this final season, whether for one last comeuppance against the Batch or another sort of, hey, you, please help me, like we saw with her possibly final appearance last season. Anyways, let's go ahead, dive into the episode. You know what that means. It is time. Strap on your buckets. Let's go.
Aye. Incoming transmission from Fi.
Who?
She's a liberator of ancient wonders. Pirate. She's a pirate.
So I love that little bit really quickly right there before we transition to Fi's actual conversation. You know, again, Crosshair still behind, still not all the way dialed in on what exactly is going on, who the Batch is in contact with. So I enjoyed Omega's attempt to sort of spin what the Fi's actual lifestyle choice is as far as her occupation. And Crosshair doesn't buy it at all. So I enjoyed that very, very much, especially once he sort of just like quietly stalks off after getting the confirmation of what he sort of suspected maybe initially to begin with about who exactly the Bad Batch has been hanging out with in his absence. But let's go ahead and hear from Fi, who the Batch has contacted in regards to trying to find out exactly why Omega is so important to Hemlock.
Hey, Fi.
Hey, kid.
What do you got for us?
I've been asking around about this M-Count thing, which hasn't been easy, by the way. TexBrain was the data bank, not mine. But I came through, as always.
And what did you find out?
Word is, certain Class 1 bounty hunters have been retrieving M-Count targets for the Empire.
Why? What's it mean?
Don't know. You're better off asking a bounty hunter.
We have run into a few.
What about Fennec?
Who?
Fennec Shand. She was hired by the Kaminoans to abduct Omega.
She might know something.
She's dangerous, but it may be our only option.
I can probably track Fennec down for you, but she's not gonna hand over that information for free.
Naturally.
So again, Omega being... Again, we use that word naive a lot to describe Omega. And I don't think it's because... I use the word, but I don't think it's because she is sort of like in this perpetual bubble of just uninformed. I just think she genuinely just tries to see the best in every person, including Fennec, who is a bounty hunter and did attempt to abduct her from the Bad Batch on behalf of the Kaminoans. But as the more grounded, more practical people in this group, Clone Force 99, they have some reservations about putting Omega around Fennec once again. And I think rightly so, despite Omega's objections to it.
Yeah, I don't like it. We can't trust Fennec. Not around Omega.
Agreed. You and I will go alone.
But
this isn't a debate. Stay on Pabu and stay out of trouble. Both of you.
Fine by me.
Omega. See if you can convince him to get his hand looked at. Ignoring it won't make the problem go away.
So I think this is well played by Hunter because, again, he's... Yes, Omega is being excluded from the mission, quote-unquote, but Hunter gives Omega a mission of her own to handle here on Pabu with Crosshair, the sort of like long-lost brother that she's been reconnecting with since her time on Tantus. So I think that's a really interesting approach and really smart on Hunter's part to kind of give her something to focus on. And it gets to something that we've talked about on the podcast here that we want to get to the bottom of, and that's what's going on with Crosshair's hand. There you go. All right, so the team is going to split up now. Hunter and Wrecker in pursuit to find Fennec Shand. And, of course, they find her in some shady cantina on a shady world with shady things happening all around. But let's go ahead and get to that juicy conversation. And I love the poor Rodian who's attempting to hire Fennec. But the Bad Batch has zero time for that Rodian and their nonsense. So let's go ahead and get to that. Oh, I do also want to mention real quick before we play the clip, I enjoyed the pit droids as bartenders here at this establishment. I do like that it has that very Star Wars-y rough and tumble cantina environment. But droid bartenders is always fun. But in pit droids, who doesn't love a good pit droid? I don't want to meet you if you don't. All right, let's go ahead and play that chat. Here we go.
We're in the middle of something here.
Not anymore. Leave.
We'll finish this later.
Sit down. I have no business with them.
You do now.
I remember you too. You're the clones who ruined one of my scores. How is Omega?
We're here for information.
In that case, it's going to cost you.
Yeah, we figured.
Get out.
I thought we were making a deal.
It can wait.
Are you serious?
So, what kind of information can I help you with? See, the way this works is you tell me what intel or target you're after, and I give you a price. So stop wasting my time.
We hear the Empire has a bounty out for M-count targets.
Why do you want to know about that?
That's our business.
So I'll pause it right here because, again, something I wanted to bring up when Fee was discussing earlier. The idea of the Empire having Class 1 bounty hunters retrieving M-count targets. So obviously we're talking about anybody who's Force-sensitive out there in the galaxy still after Order 66. And you have to wonder which of these Class 1 bounty hunters is in fact hot on the trails of Grogu as we speak. You know, we've gotten teases and flashes of his escape from the temple last season in The Mandalorian. How much will that factor into their next adventure, their big screen adventure? I don't know, but it would be nice if they'd ever get around to filling in more of those blanks. I'd love to hear it. And again, the sort of heavy lifting falls to shows like The Bad Batch to sort of lay that track to set all these things in motion, right? To kind of, you know, the Mandalorian makes note of these things, but The Bad Batch is actually showing you how and why these things were real and what was going on here. And I appreciate that, even though I do find it a tad frustrating from just a storytelling perspective, but it's good that the shows and the comics do these sort of things to bring it all together. Again, I have frustrations with it to an extent, but at least they are connecting the dots, even if it is retroactively. All right, now let's go ahead and get back into the conversation here as Fennec and Hunter and Wrecker discuss M-count bounties.
I haven't done one of those jobs myself, but I might know someone who has.
Can you put us in touch with them?
Now that will definitely cost you.
How much?
More than you've got. But we might be able to work something out. I've read your files from before.
All right, I'm going to pause it here again because, again, I think you're thinking what I'm thinking. Now, the timeline may not mesh up, but wouldn't that be something if a young Boba Fett was at this point building his reputation by bringing in these M-count bounties that the Empire is looking for? Wouldn't that make a lot of sense? Sure, of course it could be Cad Bane or any of the other bounty hunters that we've encountered over the years in Star Wars. But at some point, Boba Fett has to start earning a reputation. Why not in the midst of this? Just a thought. All right, let's get back to the chat.
You're good with demolitions and ordnance, right?
Good. I'm the best.
And you're the tracker.
What's your point?
There's a bounty I've been trying to bring in. Worth a lot. But he's been hard to catch without a crew.
Oh, so you want us to work with you?
No. You'll be working for me. You follow through. I'll get you what you want to know.
Deal.
We'll use my ship. And so we're clear. I keep the payment on the bounty. All of it.
Personally, I think it's a bad deal. Just saying. Let's cut back to Pabu and see how it's going with AZ-3 attempting to give treatment to Crosshair for his hand tremors.
How does your hand feel now?
The same.
Unfortunately, it may never heal 100%.
There's nothing else you can do?
I have exhausted all medical treatment options. Perhaps the issue is not something physical.
You think it's in my head?
If you were to elaborate more on the experimentation you were subjected to, I could determine the cause.
Forget it.
Crosshair?
So Crosshair's still in a position where he has zero interest in talking about what occurred to him on Tantus. But now we seem to have eliminated any sort of physical issues relating to Crosshair's issue. And as we speculate on the show, it's something psychological, something going on in his mind. And Omega is going to attempt to sort of draw it out from him. And, you know, Crosshair's always been the guarded one, right? The most reserved, the most unwilling to talk about things, particularly things going on with them. So we see that these characters have a deeper connection than maybe Crosshair's ever wanted to admit. But he is listening to Omega as she attempts to help him. Unlike he would even with his brothers, you know, he never... I can't think of one moment where he ever listened to Hunter, Wrecker, or Tech with the same way. She seems to be able to connect and understand Crosshair in a way that nobody else has thus far in the series. So we'll cut to Fennec's ship as they are en route to the location of Siler Saris. And Hunter and Wrecker are having a little bit of a private chat where they, you know, are like, hey, we don't trust Fennec to live up to her end. And, you know, I think Fennec is very aware of that, and she addresses it very quickly here before going into exactly who they're here to pursue.
We made a deal. I'm going to keep it as long as you hold up your end.
Want to tell us who it is we're going after?
Siler Saris, the Slayer of Ordo Eris. One of the slipperiest marks around. Got a tip on his location.
Well, what did he do?
Got greedy. Took out a couple of top bosses for the Haxian Brood and escaped with a cache of credits. Powerful people want him found. The other hunters that went after him never came back. Siler knows the planet like the back of his claw. But eventually, everyone's luck runs out.
And what planet would that be? Well, they don't really tell us the name, but it is basically the Star Wars equivalent of the Florida Everglades. And they're going to rent themselves a little bit of a hover boat here, a hovercraft, if you will, and get into all kinds of trouble with mines. And again, this planet's equivalent of a crocodile or an alligator. I'm not the most aware of the differences between the alligator and the crocodile, so we'll just, you know, say that it's an alligator or a crocodile, because I have zero interest in trying to figure out the specifics. So it leads to a lot of the action in this episode. You know, it really drives things forward here. Again, two members of Clone Force 99 attempting to get this information, working for Fennec Shand, a character they don't trust, they don't believe. You know, they're trying to do what they need to do, but they have to be cautious at the same time. And they keep kind of ending up in these situations here on the trail of the Siler Saris. Again, the first with the mines and then with the giant crocs that are in hot pursuit of them. Meanwhile, Fennec just drives a boat. So the clones are doing the hard work here. And Fennec is preparing to reap all the benefits of that relationship. And yeah, like I said, I don't think it was a good deal. But, you know, they didn't ask for my opinion first. They just want that information. One element to this planet that I do really like is that the atmosphere is toxic to the two humanoids who are oxygen breathers. So their helmets have to stay on and you know, the mask filtration systems have to do their work. You know, that's one element of Star Wars we don't see too often. The sort of harmful to humanoids type of environment. But meanwhile, they have acquired their hovercraft. They're hovering through this Everglade-like swamp planet that they are navigating. And yeah, let's just have a talk about some of the dangers involved.
Hey, Tracker. Keep eyes on the current. Siler's got a safe house upriver somewhere. Find it. You, whatever your name is, cover us. The area we're headed is extremely hostile, so always keep your eyes on the water.
Why? What's in the water?
Let's just say I'd never go in it.
And that's why she makes Hunter and Wrecker go in it, because she would never go in it herself. Which comes to be when they discover the mines, and then later the gators. Alright, while they're dealing with those mines, and again, Fennec's insistence that they go through the minefield instead of taking a diversion, which is exactly what Siler wants them to do. They're going to clear the mine path and trudge straight forward to his hideout. All right, now we'll cut back to Babu as, again, Crosshair is attempting to hit targets from a great distance and finding that hand tremor still causing some issues.
That was close.
Close doesn't count. It's either a hit or a miss.
You're still more capable than most.
That's not good enough for a sniper.
AZ might be right. Whatever they did to you on Tantus could have affected you more than you realize.
No, it's not in my head.
Just because there's nothing AZ can do doesn't mean your hand can't get better. Maybe you're the one who has to fix it.
How?
I have an idea, but you're gonna have to trust me.
I'm not gonna like it, am I?
You don't like anything.
True.
So again, this is sort of like, to me, this is sort of the heart of this episode, is Omega and Crosshair together working on this issue with Crosshair. And again, Omega's sort of way to cut through that sort of emotional armor that Crosshair wears around him at all times. And just like right there, you know, when she's like, you don't like anything. And he has to sort of, you know, admit it. Like, yeah, okay, that's true. I don't like a darn thing. You're darn tootin'. Now we're going to go back. We go back to the swamp planet. Again, this is where all the action is here, and like this is when the sequence really begins to take off here. And again, we're not going to go into too many action clips from it, but know that there's some mines and some space gators. There you go. All right, so they're getting close to the safe house, and we have an exchange, a back and forth here. Fennec's been pushing Wrecker's buttons. Wrecker's going to push back a little bit here. But again, Hunter and Wrecker have to be very, very careful about how much information they share with Fennec here, because she is not to be trusted.
Well, Tracker, which direction?
The currents are too calm to tell.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe you guys aren't cut out for this job.
Oh, you think you could do better without us?
I wouldn't be doing any worse.
Even Omega got away from you.
Apparently, she got away from you, too. So what happened with the kid?
What's it to you?
Just seems odd. You're both willing to work for me, considering our past. That information must really be important to you. And just so you know, I didn't lose Omega. I let her go when the bounty was called off.
By who?
The client. They thought Omega would be safer with you guys. Guess they were wrong about that.
I guess you'll work for anybody as long as you get paid.
Good guys, bad guys, their money is all the same.
Well, money's not everything.
And that's because you don't have any.
That's a sick burn. It's a sick burn. But this is when Hunter is going to zero in on the base. And then they're going to move in to infiltrate and attempt to get Siler Saris. Again, this is a big action sequence here. It's a fun one. Siler, being of a species that we're not familiar with, is able to use and contort his body in different ways. He leaps off the ceiling here. He's very praying mantis to me. I said grasshopper earlier, but praying mantis I think is far more accurate. It would have been funny if you saw him bite someone's head off. So in that sense, he reminds me of the creature that's in Attack of the Clones when they're at the arena on Geonosis. Siler seems to be a smaller version of that. But, you know, again, who's to say? Maybe we'll get some more information on that from StarWars.com at some point soon. We will have to wait and find out. It's time to live up to their end of the bargain. And again, it goes back and forth. There's a lot of danger here. There's a lot of stun blasts. But eventually, Hunter and Wrecker and Fennec are able to make Siler unconscious. That's not the way I wanted to say it, but that's how it got said. So now we'll cut back to Pabu and see how it's going with Omega's radical idea for Crosshair. And again, this may not play out as well on a podcast, but bear with me. You'll get the point.
What are we doing?
It's meditation. It'll help you heal. Not just your hand, but your mind too.
I doubt that.
Now.
So again, it's right there. It's that moment right there where Omega sort of unballs Crosshair's fists and puts her hand in his hand. Again, it's another strong bonding moment between these two characters, but also breaking through that hard candy shell that Crosshair has, like a peanut M&M.
Now, adjust your position and breathe.
Where did you learn this?
I picked it up from my friend Gunji and the other Wookiees on Kashyyyk.
You've been to Kashyyyk?
Uh-huh. You've missed a lot.
I know.
Now, close your eyes and focus.
And there you have it. The beginning, hopefully the beginning of healing the inside of Crosshair. You know, because I think we're going to need his sniper skills down the road here pretty soon, be my guess. So it'll be handy to have him fully functional. All right, so now we're back at the space station where Hunter and Wrecker first met up with Fennec. She's dropping them off, and they're about to find out they're not quite getting what they thought they were getting out of this arrangement.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Hang on. You promised us information.
I didn't say I had it on me, but I'll get it after I deliver Siler to my client.
That's not what we agreed on.
You can either fight me or trust me. Take your pick. Good choice.
And Fennec's not done just yet.
I just finished a job with some clones. They were asking about the Empire's M-Count bounties. What can you tell me? I'm sure you can track them down easily enough. I'll send you what I have.
And there you have it. Is it full-blown betrayal from Fennec Shand? Sure seems that way. And who was the mysterious person she was talking to? Boba Fett, Cad Bane, another bounty hunter, the Empire. Who's to say? So many mysteries abound. But I suspect we'll find out this Wednesday. We might get a little bit more insight in just what the heck is happening here. This episode, my friends, it's close. It's on the fence. I'm leaning 7.5 buckets here. You know, I really enjoy seeing Fennec Shand and that storyline with the bounty. But I really get more out of Omega and Crosshair's situation. But it's just kind of short and a little open-ended for me. But that's the way it is. So I'm leaning 7.5, but I could go 8. You can persuade me to 8. You can talk me into it. Another stellar episode of The Bad Batch here. And I suspect this was an episode sort of designed for us all to kind of catch our breath after the big two-parter last week. And if memory serves, there's another two-parter coming up here in a week or so. Maybe 2 weeks. So get ready because this final season is rolling out really, really quickly. And we will do our best to stay on top of things here at the Mandavision Podcast. And I thank you so, so much for checking out another episode of the show. Thank you guys for being here, Buckethead Nation. You continue to be the best out there. Always be great Star Wars fans to yourself and each other. And recommend all the Star Wars podcasts that you love on the socials. You know where to find us. We're at Mando_Vision, Twitter, and Instagram. Email the show, MandoVisionTom@gmail.com. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share the show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. If your podcasting platform allows it, sweet, sweet, sweet 5-star reviews help us out tremendously. We thank you for taking the time to do so. My name is Tom. This is the Mandovision Podcast, and I love Star Wars. And I love all you who take the time to listen to the show and share your Star Wars love with me. So you are all the best, and I thank you all for being such amazing supporters over the years. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This podcast will exist as long as you guys are here to listen to it. So thank you again. All right, Bucketheads, we'll be back next week, unless something else happens sooner. We'll be back to take on the next episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch. And I can't wait for it. In the meantime, again, be great Star Wars fans. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. And remember, this podcast can only end one way. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way. This is the way.